Good morning. Can you hear me, Bennett? We begin by thanking our sponsors. The Daf Yomi Shiurim of Maseches Bava Kamma are all dedicated in the memory of Master Sergeant Eliyahu Michal Harush, Hashem Yukam Damai, who was one of the first officers killed by Hamas while heroically defending and protecting Am Yisrael and his community during the fierce battle at the State Road Police Station. May our collective learning bring an aliyah to his neshama and his chus to his beautiful family. We also thank Josh and Becca Friedman for sponsoring all the shiurim of the month of Kislev in honor of the yahrzeit of Josh's father, Yisrael Yehuda ben Rav Chaim Rafal, zecharenu levracha, which was on the first day of Kislev. And as well, for a zechus, for the aliyah of the neshama of those who were nifter, who were killed on October 7th in terrorist attack in Israel, and for a safe return of all the chayalim and hostages in Gaza, and for a full and complete refuah to all those injured in the attacks. We also thank Sammy and Malka Esterson for sponsoring all the shiurim of the month of Kislev in memory of their parents, Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bat Henach Ephraim, and Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchak Leib Ben Aaron HaKohen, and Sarah Stiefel, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram. We also thank the Pepper family for sponsoring all the shiurim of the month of Kislev in memory of their uncle and brother, Yosef Pepper, Yosef David Ben Yaakov, and Neshama should have an aliyah. All those who need a Yeshua should have a Yeshua, and all those who need a refuah should have a refuah. Today's daf is daf Lamed Hey in Maseches Bava Kamma. We are going to pick up from the Gemara at the bottom of daf Lamed Aleph of these. Just a very quick reminder, the Mishnah yesterday ended off giving a number of cases where a person himself, had he committed a certain activity, may have been chayiv, but it's not a given that if his animal commits the same activity, that he's going to be responsible to compensate for the damage. As well, we had the opposite, which was there are some cases where if a person's animal were to commit some type of damage, were to perpetrate some type of damage on somebody else, it would not be a given that just because the animal, or because he's chayiv for the action of the animal, that he would be chayiv if he did the same thing himself. And there were some technicalities involved, mostly because, you know, when an animal goes ahead and embarrasses somebody, generally speaking, an animal doesn't have intention to embarrass somebody. The animal can have intention to hurt somebody, but not to embarrass somebody. And we had the concept of kum lei v'derav minei, which is when there is an action which simultaneously would hold the one who perpetrates that action responsible for two different punishments. So there is an incursion of two different punishments simultaneously. One of them is more severe than the next. We only give the person the more severe than two punishments. Therefore, if there's ever a situation where someone does something which comes along with a chiyav miso, the person is going to be punishable by death, then the financial obligation is set aside, and those were the cases in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes on and says, picking up from the Gemara on Daf Lamed Daled on the base, Tani Rebbe Vo Kamed Rebbe Yochanan. Rebbe Vo learned the following in front of Rebbe Yochanan. He said, Kol Makalklin Peturin Chutz Michove Umaver. He's talking about Hilchos Shabbos, and what he said was, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there is a special quantification that the malacha needs to be a malacha which is of constructive purposes. When a person violates Shabbos, so we know that there are 39 malachos which are prohibited, and if a person violates those, so if it was done on purpose, intentionally, then the person is chayav misa. If a person does it by mistake, he has to bring a carbon chatas. The halacha is, if any of those malachas, any one of those forbidden actions were done, but it was not done for a constructive purpose, it was done for a destructive purpose, that's his halacha called makalkalin, peturin. If you do any one of the malachas, but it causes damage, then you are pater. It doesn't mean that it's mutter, it just means that it is pater, a person is not chayiv any of those above-mentioned punishments if he does them on Shabbos, besides for chovel, if a person causes damage to a human being, or mavir, a person ignites a fire. Now the reason for that, Rashi tells us that both of those cases are learned. We have a drasha which teaches us what the halacha there is, and just for example, we learn the halacha of mila, that a person, that mila happens to be docha Shabbos. In other words, the pasuk tells us to be a mashmini yima basar alaso. Tells us that it's always going to be done on the eighth day, under normal circumstances, and that teaches us that even if it's Shabbos, Mila is Docha Shabbos, which also means that if it wasn't Mila, it's not Docha Shabbos. So that's a Chovel, that's a case of a person doing some type of Chavala. Nevertheless, a person would be chayiv, and that's where he learns his drasha from. He also learns it from Bas Kohen when it comes to Sreifa. But ultimately, the bottom line is he learns that even though it's true that when a person commits an action on Shabbos, any one of the forbidden acts on Shabbos, and it's done in a destructive way, he is exempt, he is pater. That's only true by most cases. However, when it comes to chovel, causing damage to a person, or mavir, lighting a fire, a person would be chayiv, even if it is destructive in nature, because that is what those two things are. Chovel by nature is destructive, and lighting a fire by nature is also destructive. What did Amar Leit? Rabbi Yochanan responded to him and said, "Poke tani libra." Basically, he told him you can go outside and turn that. You can teach this type of mishnah. Why? Because chovel umavir eino mishnah. Halach you taught us about chovel or mavir is not a proper or not a legitimate mishnah. And if you want to tell me that it is actually true, you misunderstood what chovel or mavir meant. Chovel, when the person is chayiv, is chovel betzarach lekalbo. A person makes a wound on himself because his dog needed the blood. I don't know exactly what the case would be, but his dog needed the blood. And therefore, what he's saying is, this is not a case of chovel, which is destructive. This is chovel, which is actually constructive, because he needed to get the blood. Similarly, mavir, we're talking about burning something, bitzarach li'afro, it's talking about a case where he actually needed to get the ashes. So it wasn't destructive. He was trying to get to the result of actually getting the ashes. Now, just to take a little detour on this for a minute, just when you analyze this, Tosfos has a long arichas on this, and I'm trying to make it pretty simple. But when you analyze it, there really are two separate things. Chovel still inherently is a damage. In other words, even if it's true that you need the blood, the person still is stuck with a wound, which is damaging. It happens to be that in the sum total of the action, there was some type of constructive purpose. But when you isolate each action in and of itself, the chavala, the wound, still is damaging. And the fire still is damaging. It happens to be you need what you're getting from it, but it's still, in and of itself, is going to be destructive. I would think a case where it's more relevant to say that the chavala is constructive is a case maybe like a surgery, where there's a surgery which is done. The chavala is what's necessary to get what you need. It's an interesting answer the Gemara gives. Ultimately, still, but there's still a big question, which is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he's trying to tell us that these cases are constructive because you need to get a specific result. The problem with this is that there is a concept called a malacha shein tzricha legufa. A malacha shein tzricha legufa is one of those halachas which appear pretty much really only when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, because Shabbos, the halacha is, the malacha needs to be done under specific circumstances, and it has to be done for a specific purpose. Malacha shein tzricha legufa means one of two things. It's machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in Maseches Shabbos, but according to Rashi, a malacha shein tzricha legufa is when I actually need the malacha, not when I just need some type of result. For example, the classic case in Maseches Shabbos is if a person, Rachmana Tzlan, passes away inside the house on Shabbos. Now, the members of the household might want to pick up the dead body and move it outside. Now, why do they want to move the dead body outside? Not because they need the body to be outside, but because the body's in the middle of the living room. It's Shabbos. They don't want to have the body there. Now, the problem with carrying the body outside is it's a problem of Hatzah, carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabbah. So therefore, it would be Asr to carry the body outside. But the caveat would be that I'm not trying to get the body outside. Generally speaking, Hatzah is a problem when I'm trying to transport an item from point A to point B. In other words, my entire goal of carrying this item is I would like to move it from my living room and I actually intentionally want to place it someplace outside. In this case, a person doesn't want to move the body outside any more than they want any place else. They just don't want it where it is right now. So it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa because they don't have intention to really move it someplace more than just not have it over here. According to Tosus, a malacha shein tzricha legufa is when a person does any action and their intention is different than what they had in mind when that action was done when they built the Mishkan. So, in other words, we learn all the 39 avos malachos from the actions that were done in the Mishkan. Now, that's the case, they have to align. So if I'm doing something and my intention is similar to what they did in the Mishkan, like cooking, they cooked because they wanted to raise the heat to get the samamanim, the different herbs, to be able to cook and to be able to give off their color. And so cooking is the same thing. I'm cooking because I want the item that I'm cooking to reach its point of cooking. Now, in any case, these cases over here should be malacha shein tzricha legufa. Because if I'm making a wound, why am I making the wound? Because I'm trying to get to a different result. I want to get the blood, the same thing. When I'm burning something, generally speaking, you burn something because you want to destroy it. In this case, my goal is for something else. My goal is to get the ashes. So Tosus addresses this in a few places. But Tosus, it's all the way on the next Amud Daf Lamed Hey, Amud Aleph. It's maybe 15 lines from the end of the Tosus. He says, the Yesh Lomar, the low dummy, it's not similar to Hacha, Sarach Hu L'Netilas Neshama. He actually does need to actually, it's called Netilas Neshama, because when a person takes out blood, and he explains, blood is considered to be the Nefesh. And that's the issue of causing a wound, is to a certain extent, you're causing death. You're causing death to blood. Sarach Hu L'Netilas Neshama, Dehainu Adam, Ki Adam Wa Nefesh, Kedei Losis L'Kalbo. He actually needs that action to be done to give it to his dog. Umavir Nami, L'Havara Kedei Lasos Efer. He actually needs action one to get to action two. K'mo Mavir L'Vashel Kedera, the same thing is true like lighting a fire. So it's different than a typical Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, where a person would have been happy to avoid the whole circumstance in the first place. For example, the case where the person has this dead body in the house, they would have been happy not to have a dead body in the first place. Similarly, the person digs a hole. It's a classic example. Chofer guma, veino tzarach el afra. Person digs a hole, which is a malacha on Shabbos. Chofer choresh. It's one of the malachas on Shabbos to dig a hole. Now, why is he digging the hole? Not because he wants anything done to the ground, but he needs some dirt. Needs to cover up over a mess. In that case, he would have been happy not to have to dig the hole in the first place. So that's what he says. V'lo dami l'chofer guma. It's not similar to digging a hole. D'memela v'eino nena klal mimenu. He doesn't need that hole in the earth at all. So ultimately, that's Tosus's point, is to try to make sure that these cases don't turn into malacha shein tzricha legufa. In any case, let's move on. Tanan, now we can look at our Mishnah to try to see who's right. We're talking about this halacha of kol mekalkalin peturin, and Rebbe Vo made two exceptions of chovel or mavir, and Rebbe Yochanan disagreed. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. Shoro shehidlik es hagadosh b'shabbos, a person's shor, their ox, lit a gadish, a pile on fire on Shabbos, chayiv. So the owner of the shor is going to be liable to pay for it. Who shehidlik es hagadish b'Shabbos? If he himself ignited this gadish, this pile on Shabbos, Pater is going to be exempt. V'katani, and we learned, who dumya d'shoro. The general assumption is, when you're making a comparison between two different things, they're going to be the same case, just a different person. In this case, we want the cases to be exactly the same. Just the only difference is, one is the human being doing it, one is the shor doing it. So the Gemara says, who dumya d'shoro? He is exactly the same as his ox. Mashoro, just like when it comes to his ox. Deloka boile, the ox doesn't need the ashes. The ox is not lighting the fire because he needs the ashes. Top of Lamed Hayam and Aleph. Afu, deloka boile, it must be talking about a case where he doesn't need the ashes. So Rabbi Yochanan, how could you tell me our Mishnah is talking about a case where it's mavir v'tzarach li'afro? He ignited this fire because he wanted the ashes. The problem just is, we're going to have to assume that he is similar to his ox. Just like his ox doesn't need the ashes, the same thing is true. He does not need the ashes. Rabbi Yochanan, you can't be correct. So that's how the Gemara goes on. Afu, nami deloka vayle, v'katani pater. We still said that he's pater, v'vneishu nidim anafsho, because he's punishable by death. Now, he's pater on the financial payment. Why? Because he's chayiv on the Shabbos obligation. So we see clearly, even if he does not need the ashes, he is going to be chayiv, which is clearly like Rav Avo. Gemara says, no, you misunderstood this. Shoro dumidide, this case is talking about with a shar, the ox is similar to him. Mahu dekabayle, just like he is lighting this gadish, this pile on fire, this pile of hay or straw on fire, dekabayle, he needs the ashes. Afshoro, the same thing is true when it came to the ox, dekabayle, the ox actually needed the ashes, and that's the reason why the shar lit this pile of straw or hay on fire, because the shar actually needed to use the ashes. Mara says, hold on a second. Hey, Mishkachas, what are we talking about, a shar that needed to have a pile of ashes? Is that really what we're talking about here? Mara says, Amalei Rav Avyo, yeah. Hakav Mayav Skinan. What are we talking about? Bishar Pikeach. Very smart ox. This ox was very advanced. He knew that he needed some ashes. Because what happened? Sha'ol Salo Nashicha Begabo got a bite on his back. The kabai lemikle, the ignader bekutme. So he needed to light this pile on fire. It's like this, he can rub the ashes on his back. He would feel better. Okay? That's the reason why the shar lit this pile of straw on fire. The Gemara asks a simple question. How do you know? I mean, did you have a conversation with the shar? And he told you, yes, I got a pretty intense bite on my back. Let me go light this on fire. How do you know why the shar lit this thing on fire? How are you going to have any... Could the shar tell you? Could the shar speak? Mara says, well, you have to be a smart person also. The labas de kalye, after he burned this pile on fire, kav ignader the kutma. Just watch what he does. He goes outside with this torch, lights it on fire, takes a step back, watches the fire sit there and consume the whole fire. After everything cools down, he starts rolling around in this pile of ash. Gemara says, are we getting carried away here? Is there actually a shar that can do this? Gemara says, in, yes. Zahutura, there was this ox, Dehavibei Rapapa. Rapapa owned an ox, or maybe, I don't know if he owned it, but it was definitely in his possession. Dehavi Kaven lei chaniche. He had a toothache. Ayol, it went up. Upaske linizyasa. It knocked off the cover of a beer barrel. Veshasi shechra. And he was drinking some beer. It says his tooth felt better. So yes, we see there are some animals out there that are pretty smart. And therefore, it's possible this happened. Now, the truth is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi points out, it doesn't have to be that every single time this case happens, this is the whole story, and we assume everyone's ox is going to be so smart. It just has to be possible that this is going to be the case. Rashi, the second line, he says, lav dafkuf, not necessarily talking about a case where the ox needed it, dafilu lo boile nami chayi l'shalom, el akarchar tarbayu b'chadam ilsa makmina. In other words, it's possible that if he didn't need it, he still would be chayiv, but we at least want to be able to establish the Mishnah to be talking about the possibility of it talking about the same case. Gemara goes on. Amar Rabbanan kamed Rapapa. The Rabbanan said in front of Rapapa, mi matzis amrit, can you actually say, shayroi dumi didei? Can we actually even establish this, be talking about a case where the shar is similar, the ox is similar to him, where they both needed the ashes? Fakatani, we learned, Shore Shabiyesh, if his ox embarrassed somebody, Potter. The owner is going to be exempt from paying the financial obligation of the embarrassment. Who Shabiyesh, if he himself embarrassed somebody, Chayiv, he's going to be obligated to pay. And again, Shoro Dumididei, when it comes to Shoro, the ox being similar to him, How can you have a case where an animal says, you know what, I want to embarrass this person? I mean, that's definitely something which is very difficult to ascertain. How is the shark going to intentionally go and embarrass somebody? Morris says, Kagon shenaskavein lahazik. It doesn't actually mean the shark had intention to cause embarrassment, but the shark had intention to cause damage. Mar tells us, Neskavin lahazik, alpha pishlo neskavin lebayesh. The person had intention to cause damage to somebody else, even if they didn't explicitly say that they're trying to embarrass somebody, but the mere fact that you had in mind to hurt somebody includes the fact that you're embarrassing them. One is inherently connected to the next. So that's the case where the person's ox had intention to embarrass somebody. Rava, my Rava says, Masisim b'shogi. Our Mishnah, in other words, he argues on the whole thing. Our entire Mishnah was not talking about a case where a person is chayiv misa for the actions of violating Shabbos. In other words, we all understood from the beginning that our Mishnah was talking about a case where the person violated Shabbos intentionally, and therefore there's a chayiv misa, and that's why there's a kamalei b'derabimene, because there's a much more intense punishment of misa, and therefore the financial payment is going to be set aside. Rava says, you misunderstood the whole thing. Masnisin really is talking about b'shogeg. When the person lit this fire by mistake, but nevertheless, the din of Kamalei B'drabimine is still going to be relevant, even though there's really no active punishment of Misa. Because of the teaching of Bechizkiah taught, Maki Adam Umaki Behema. The Pasuk juxtaposes when a person is Maki Adam, kills a person, and a person is makke behema, kills a behema. And we say their halachas are going to be similar. Ma makke behema. Just like when we're talking about a person who strikes an animal and kills the animal, the halacha is lo chilak deba, bein chogig, bein meis. It makes no difference if the person killed the animal intentionally or unintentionally, because the halacha is adam mu'ad la'olam. A person is always responsible for their actions. And bein miskavin, l'shein miskavin, makes a difference if the person had intention to kill the animal or they didn't have intention to kill the animal. Bein derech yirida, l'derech aliyah, whether the action happened when a person's swinging an axe, whether it was on the downward motion or the upward motion. Because, why is that relevant? Because when it comes to killing a person, when a person goes to galus, to Ari Mikla, for unintentionally killing somebody by swinging an axe, there's a gzera sakasa that it's only if the person unintentionally kills the person on the strike on the way down. But on the way up, the person's not obligated to go to Ari Mikla. So when it comes to killing an animal, that makes no difference. In all those cases, lepotru maman, none of those details can actually exempt him from paying the money. Aflech ela lechaiba maman, in any one of those cases, he's going to be obligated to pay for the damage of the animal. Af maki adam, the same thing is true when it talks about striking a person. Lo tachlok bo bein shogig lemezid. We can't differentiate whether or not the person killed by mistake or on purpose. Bein miskavin l'shem miskavin, whether it was intentional or unintentional. Bein derech yirida derech aliyah l'chayv moment. In all those cases, we're always going to say he's not obligated to pay the money. El lepotro maman, he's always going to be exempt from money. Why? Because it comes along with capital punishment. Amar lei, Rabbanan l'Rava, mi matzis mukmas lo b'shogeg. Is it possible that you can establish our mission to be talking about a case where it was b'shogeg? Our Mishnah says very clearly, the reason why he's going to be exempt is because he is judged with his life. Since when it comes to a mezid, to an intentional act of violating Shabbos, he would be judged with his life. Well, where would there be a case where he's nidav b'nafsho to kabay l'afro, when he needs to have the ashes? Hashta b'shogi pater. The halacha is now, even though it was a shogeg, and technically he cannot be punished with his life, nevertheless, we've established very clearly from time of the Bechizkiah that we still always apply the halachas universally, and even though he can't actually be given the punishment of Misa, nevertheless, you can't be Mechayiv him Mammon in this case, you can't be Mechayiv him a monetary payment, because this is punishable by death, even though he actually is not going to be put to death. Let's go on to the next Mishnah. Shar Shahaya Rodev Achar Shar Achar. So this is a bunch, this Mishnah is going to give us a bunch of cases where it's not 100% clear what happened. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence of what took place, but a lot is left to be determined. So let's start with the first case. Shar Shahaya Rodev Achar Shar Achar. One ox was chasing another ox. Vuhuzak. And at some point, let's just call it Shar 1, Shar 2. Shar 1 was chasing Shar 2. At some point later in the day, we found that Shar 2 was damaged. Do we know for sure that it was Shar 1 that actually caused the damage? Just from the information that we have, we don't know. But what happens? Zeomer, Shar Chahizik, the owner of Shar 2 that got damaged, says, Your ox, Shar 1, is the one that caused this damage. Vizelmer, the owner of Shar 1, says, Loki, not so, that's not true. Ella Basella Loka. You can't prove that my ox actually caused the damage. As a matter of fact, I am certain it was not my ox that caused the damage. Rather, your ox got hurt on a stone. Rashi says it was Mischache Koya Basella Loka. It was scratching itself on a stone, on a rock, and it got hurt. Maybe it means a trip. I don't know exactly what happened, but he says the injury that your ox sustained had nothing to do with my shar. Now it happens to be, some point out, that even if it would be that the shar one was chasing shar two, and as a result of being chased, it got hurt on a rock, nevertheless, there's no monetary obligation here because that's a grama. My shar caused your shar to get hurt. It didn't actually do it. It's not directly related. What's the halacha? Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. If you ever want to extract money from somebody, the halacha is you have to prove it. So the owner of Shar 2 that got damaged is going to have to find some way of proving through Edim or some other means that it was actually Shar 1 that did the damage and not something else. Next case. Hayu shnayim rotfin. Two animals were chasing achar echad, after one animal. Zeomer shar chahizik. Zeomer shar chahizik. In this case, it's clear that one of the oxen actually beat up shar number two. The question just was, is it mine or is it yours? I say it was yours, you say it was mine. Next case, Lamed Hey Amud Beis at the top. In that halacha, shneim peturim. Both of them are going to be exempt because no one has proved it. Imhayu shneim shel ish echad. However, if both of the chasing shvarim, both of the chasing oxen, belong to one person, what's the halacha? Shnehem chayavim. Both of those animals are obligated to pay for it. The Gemara is going to explain what this means. We'll probably get to this tomorrow. But at this point, let's just understand that they are both obligated to pay for the damage. Haya echad gadol. What if one of the animals was big? So again, two animals are chasing, and one animal is being chased. An animal that's being chased gets damaged. Haya echad gadol, v'echad katan. One of the shvarim that was chasing was big, and one of them was small. Now hanizik omer, the nizik, the one who was damaged, says, gadol hizik, it was your large shar that caused the damage. The mazik omer, Loki, that's not so. Ela katan hizik. It was the small animal that caused the damage. What's the difference? The difference is, we learn that a tam, an animal that's assumed to be a tame animal that causes damage, only pays migufo and does not pay from the aliyah. In other words, that what that means is, when the animal is an animal that's assumed to be a tame animal, is never going to pay more than the value of the actual animal. If the payment for the damage exceeds the value of the animal, that's where it caps. That's why this person wants to say, listen, my animal is a shar tam, I only pay chatzi nezek. If chatzi nezek, half the damage of your big animal, exceeds the value of my small animal, I'm capped out at the value of my small animal. The other guy says, no. It was your big animal that caused the damage, so there's a lot more value to work with, and therefore you'll pay me the full half nezek. Similarly, echad tam, if one of the animals were a tam, one of the chasing animals were a tam, the echad muad, the other one was an animal that's already accustomed to getting into fights, hanizik omer, the nizik says, muad hizik, it was the muad that caused the damage. Now why does he want to say that? Because the muad pays nezek shalei, and pays from the guy's wallet. Vamazik omer, the damager, the guy who actually owns the animals that caused the damage, he says, Loki, that's not true. Ela tam hizik. It was the tam, the more tame animal that caused the damage. Again, halacha is, hamotzi mechavero, alav haraya. You want to extract money from somebody, therefore you're going to have to bring a raya. Again, what exactly that means, the Gemara is going to clarify soon. Hayu hanizakim shnayim. If there were two animals that got damaged, echad gadol, the echad katan. One of the animals that got damaged was big, and one of them was small. So obviously, the animal that was big sustained a larger damage because now it depreciates much more. The other one is small. Now, what happens? Vamazik. Vamazikim shnayim. Sorry. Let's just go back. Hayu hanizakim shnayim. The damaged animals were two. Echad gadol ve'echad katan. One's big, one's small. Vamazikim shnayim. And there were two animals that caused damage. Echad gadol ve'echad katan. So four animals in total got into a fight. All right? Two big ones against, sorry, a big and a small against a big and a small. Now, what happens? Conveniently, Hanizik Omer, the guy whose animals were damaged, says, Gadol Hizik HaGadol. The big one was in a fight with the big one, and therefore the one that sustained a lot of damage was damaged by the big guy, and therefore you have a lot more value to work with in terms of compensating me. Vakata Mesakata. The small one caused damage to the small one, and therefore it's not so concerning that the animal that was damaged was small, because the animal that actually damaged was small also. It's like a big insurance policy versus a small insurance policy. Vamazik Omer, the one who owned the animals that caused the damage, says, Loki, not so, that's not true. Elakatan esagadol, the small animal actually beat up the big animal. Vagadol esakatan, and the big animal who's worth more, beat up the small animal. Again, what's his motivation to say that? The motivation to say that is because he'll end up having to pay less. Next case, echad tam ve'echad muad. One of the animals was a tam, and the other one was a muad. Hanizik omer, the nizik says, muad hizik. Es hagadol. The animal that's accustomed to damaging was the one who beat up the gadol, and therefore you'll pay full damage. Not only will you pay full damage, you'll actually pay from your wallet as well. The tam is a katan, and the tam, the more tame animal, is the one that damaged the small animal. Vamazik omer, the damager, says, Loki not so, elo tam is a gadol, the more tame animal beat up the large animal, umur is a katan, and the more wild animal beat up the small animal. The halach is a motzi b'chavero, alav haraya. In all these cases, the halach is going to be, you're trying to extract money from somebody, you want someone to incur a much larger financial responsibility, the burden of proof is upon you, and you're going to have to be able to bring some way of proving to the Beis Din what happened. Now, by way of introduction to the following Gemara, I'm just going to mention two things. There's a famous Mishnah, a famous Perek, which is actually in this Masechta, called Shar Shnaga Chasapara. The beginning of Shar Shnaga Chasapara, there is a case which is an inherent suffix. I'll just read the case to you very quickly to help you understand what it's talking about. Shar shnaga chasapara. Zandaf mem vav amir aleph. An ox that went and gored a cow. The nimtza ubra betzida. We find a dead fetus next to the cow. Okay? The ein yadua. We do not know. Im ad shalo nagcha yalda. If this miscarriage happened before the goring. Imisha nagcha yada, or if it happened after the gori. So that is the case. Mishnah says, Mashalim chatzi nezek lepara, uruvi nezek levlad. Basically, we are not sure in this case if when the shar, the damaging shar, killed the cow, whether or not it also killed the fetus. There's no way to determine this. Nobody knows. Nobody was there. This is a case of an inherent doubt. Nobody has any idea what happened. Nobody claims to know what happened. It's just a case where we just don't know. The information is just not recorded. Therefore, that's called mamon hamutol basafik. We're not sure if the damaging animal caused damage to one animal or to two animals. In that case, that's called mamon hamutol basafik. It's an inherent doubt. Sochis is of the opinion that in such a case, we always say chalkin, divide it. In other words, we know for sure that your animal damaged. We don't know how much it damaged. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody could prove it. There's no video evidence. There's no evidence at all. Split the loss. So you have to pay half. The Chachamim disagree with that ruling. The Chachamim say, while we understand where Simchus is coming from, they should split it. The halach is amotz mechaveri olav araya. Since you can't prove it, the burden of proof is on you. And as long as you don't bring that proof, you get nothing. That's Simchus's halacha. The next thing I want to bring down to introduce this Gemara is there's a concept called Bari Veshema, Bari Adav, which means that if I ever find myself in a situation where two people are fighting about money, one person says, I know with certainty the following, and the other person says, I'm not sure. I don't know what the halacha. I'm not sure what happened. We always follow the person who comes with a claim of certainty. Bari Veshema, Bari Adav. The fact that you're coming with a claim of certainty carries a lot more weight than a person who says, I don't know what happened. Even if the person is legitimately saying, I don't know what happened, the bottom line is, the person is not really telling much of a story. So Bari Veshema, Bari Adav. Now let's learn our Gemara. Amar of Chia Bar Abba. Chia Bar Abba says the following. Zos Omeris, our Mishnah tells us, Chalukin Alav Chaverav Al Sumchis, that the other Rabbanim are arguing with Sumchis. The Amar, for he says, Maman Amutu Basafik Chalkin. Whenever there's a doubt, we always split it. Why does our Mishnah indicate not like that? Because our Mishnah says, we have a doubt, we don't know what happened. Just take the first case, for example. Two animals are running around, and they're, you know, all kinds of, I'll call it horseplay, but all types of cow play or ox play in the backyard. What's happening? Nobody knows. An hour later, one of them is damaged. According to Simchus, you would assume that this would be a classic case of Maman Amutu Basafek. Nobody knows what happened. We know there was a fight. We don't know how the fight happened. We don't know what happened. We know that there was all types of wild behavior. Now one of them is damaged. So Maman Amutu Basafek, Chalkin. Our Mishnah doesn't say that. Our Mishnah doesn't say they split the loss. Our Mishnah says, until you actually prove what happened, it seems like you get nothing. Amar Lei, Rav Abba Bar Mamal, Rav Chia Bar Abba. Amar Sumchus Safilu Bari Ubari. Is that really true? That Sumchus' halacha would even apply to our Mishnah? In the case that we mentioned initially, nobody knows what happened. There are two dead animals, a dead cow and a dead fetus. It's my speculation against your speculation. In our case, though, our Mishnah seems like they actually are coming with a claim of certainty. Regardless, he said, Amar Lei In. He said, yes. Sumchus says it's halacha, even if they're coming with claims of certainty. Amar Sumchus Afilu Bari Ubari. Sumchus does say halacha, his halacha, even when both claimants are actually coming with a claim of certainty. Now the Gemara says, hold on, who told you that our Mishnah is talking about a case where it's a Bari Ubari, where they're both certain? The Bari Ubari who? The Gemara answers the Katani, for it says, Ze Omer, this person says, Sharcha Hizik, your ox actually caused the damage. Ze Omer, this person says, Loki, no, it's not so. He doesn't say maybe not, it's possible. He answers with certainty. He says, Loki, it's not true. So the term Loki doesn't mean Loki in English. Low, no, key, not so. It's a claim of certainty. Okay, Maskif La Rav Papa. Rav Papa is going to try to analyze our Mishnah. Midoresha Bari Ubari. If the first case of our Mishnah is Bari Ubari, in other words, both owners of the animals come with an absolute claim. I say, yes, your animal damaged mine. The other person says, no, it's not true. Then say, fanami bari bari. We want the mission to be consistent. If the first case is bari bari, where they're both certain, ema seif, let's look at the last case. Hay echad gadol, one of them was big, ve'echad katan, one of them was small. Nizik omer gadol hizik, the nizik, the one who was damaged, says it was the large animal that caused the damage. Umazik omer, and the one whose animal actually caused the damage, he claims, loki ella katan hizik, it was a small one that caused the damage. Echad tam, one of them is big, ve'echad muad, the other one is echad tam, one of them is tame. The other one is Mu'ud, the other one is a wild animal. Nizik Omer, the one who got damaged, Omer, he says Mu'ud Hizik. It was the Mu'ud that caused the damage, and therefore there's a higher payment. But Mazik Omer, and the Mazik says, Loki, if not true, Elotam Hizik. It was the Tamar that caused the damage. Hamotz Michavero Olavarai. The Mishnah tells us, the one who wants to extract the money, he has the burden of proof. Now, hold on a second. What would happen, Halo Maisi Raya? What would happen if he does not bring a Raya? Shakil. To Amar Mazik. We would assume that what does he get? He gets what the Mazik claims. In other words, there's a fight over here. Let's just give some numbers to make it make more sense. There's an animal that gets damaged which has a value of $200. Okay? Now, since we're talking about an animal that's a tam, the assumption is that the payment of Chatzin Nezik would be $100. If the animal was a big animal, so then if the animal's worth, I don't know, $500, so no problem, pay the $100, which is Chatzin Nezek. If it's a small animal, then if its whole value is going to be $75, you cap out at $75. The same thing is true with a big animal, small animal, a tam, a mu'ud. In any case, the mazik, the one who damages, is acquiescing that he has some type of monetary payment. He does admit he owns some kind of money. The Mishnah assumes that if the Nizik fails to bring proof that his claim is actually correct, he can't substantiate his claim, the assumption is, so then we'll go with the word of the Mazik. He'll get some money. The problem just is, Nematet Yufta de Rabba Bar Nosson. This is not going to fit well with what Rabba Bar Nosson taught us. Now, why is that a problem? The problem is because we pass on the Rabba Bar Nosson. What does he say? He says, if a person goes to somebody and says, you know what, you owe me like 100 pounds of wheat. He says, wheat? No. I never borrowed any wheat from you. I borrowed 100 pounds of barley from you. What's the halacha? Potter. You don't have to pay anything. Now, what's the reason for that? The reason for that is because inherently when I go to you and I say you owe me 100 pounds of wheat, I am also saying you don't owe me 100 pounds of barley. So therefore, the fact that I'm admitting to you that I owe you 100 pounds of barley is irrelevant because you're not claiming that. The same thing should be true over here. If you're claiming that it was a different animal, you say it was animal B that caused the damage, you're essentially also saying that animal A did not cause the damage. So therefore, why should I have to pay you as if animal A caused the damage? Ella, rather, what's it talking about? The bari b'shema. So we can't compare the cases at all, because it's a claim of Bari against a claim of Shema, of uncertainty. Elo Bibari Bishema, the Ka'amar Bari Man. The Gemara says, which person was certain? The Ka'amar Shema Man. Who's the one who was unsure? He named it the Ka'amar Nizik Bari. If you're going to tell me we're talking about a case where the Nizik, the one who was damaged, claimed with a claim of certainty. The Ka'amar Mazik Shema, and the one whose animal damaged, claimed, I'm not sure which one caused the damage. Akati limitate tiyufta de Rabba. Still, that should be a tiyufta that should disprove Rabba Bar Nosson, because again, if we're talking about a case where the nizik, the one who's claiming, says, I know for certain it was animal B that caused the damage, inherently he's saying animal A didn't cause the damage. And Rabba Bar Nosson would say, when you have such a claim, you get paid nothing. So how could you say, in our Mishnah, it would ultimately seem to refute that case. And we don't want to refute Rabba Bar Nosson. Ella, rather, we have to say, the Amar Nizik Shema, the one who was damaged, says, I'm not sure which one of your animals caused damage, but I think you should consider paying me a higher value. The Amar Mazik Bari, in a case where the owner of the animals that caused damage says, I know for sure it was the one of lower value. Now hold on a second. And be the seifa nizik shema. If in the last case we're talking about with a nizik, the one who got damaged was unsure. Umazik bari, and the one who damaged is certain. Reishanami nizik shema umazik bari. The first case in the Mishnah where we have an argument whether the animal caused the damage in the first place, that's also a case where the nizik, the one who got damaged, is unsure, and the mazik is a bari. Still, the Omar sumchas. This is getting back to the end. The Omar sumchas afilu baha. Even in this case, you're gonna split it. Ditzrich lashem inan delo. Do you have to actually say that you're not going to split it? In other words, it's obvious in such a case that sumchas is not going to be of the opinion that you split it. Why do you have to have a mishnah tell you that? Because it's so obvious in a case where the nizik is not even making a claim. The nizik's claim is so weak. What's the havamina that you would split it? He doesn't even know what happened. The bari knows. The mazik knows what happened. Mara says, no, that can't be the case. Rather low. Seifa, the end is talking about, the last case is talking about the nizik is a shema, the guy who got damaged is the shema, umazik bari, and the one who caused damage actually claims with certainty which animal caused the damage. Reisha, the first case is the opposite. Nizik bari, the one who got damaged is sure. The guy says, yes, I know for sure your animal caused my animal damage. Umazik shema, the mazik says, who said? Maybe it's not what happened. Mara says, hold on. Vala dami reisha the seifa. If that's the case, then there's a problem. We always want our cases in the Mishnah to line up consistently. The Gemara says, Amri bari v'shema, shema ubari, chad milsahi. In other words, it is consistent. It's still consistent to say that the cases were cases where one was certain, one was not certain, even if it switches from mazik to nizik. Bari ubari, and shema ubari, tre mili dinu. We can't have a case where some of them are, where both of them are certain, and one of them, and then other cases where one is certain, one is uncertain, because those are totally different cases. The bottom line is, so he was not able to prove that they argue on sumchas because the cases are not necessarily aligning. Okay, Gufa, the Gemara goes on. We have 2 minutes. Amar Rav Barnasan, Tanu Chitim, person claims that he owes, that someone owes him wheat, and he admitted that he owes him barley. Potter. He doesn't have to pay. My Kamashman. Why does he have to teach us this? Why does Rav Barnas have to teach us this? Tanina, it's a Mishnah. Tuanu chitim adol b'sorim. A person claims a person owes him wheat, and he admits that he owes him barley. Potter, he's going to be exempted. Mar says, Imi Hasam, if that's where you come from, Havi Amina, Potter means mechitim v'chayim v'sorim. I would have thought the betor, the exemption, is only on the value of the wheat, but you still have to pay the lower value of seorim. Kamash balan, to potter legami, he pays nothing. Mara says, hold on. Tanah, look at our Mishnah. If the animals that got damaged were two, echad gadol v'echad katan, one was big, one was small, halo maisi raya, what would happen? Halo, if he doesn't bring any raya, shakot kadama mazik, you would assume he takes as if the mazik claims. Amai chitim seorim nenu, why is he getting what the mazik claims? You should get nothing, because it's a similar case, chitim and seorim. Noir says, you misunderstood this. This means, if he actually would have it, he deserves it, but he can't actually get it. In other words, he really gets nothing. Noir says, hold on, but Tani went to Nebraisa, how raise the Mishtal Malakatim, Minagadol, Lagadol Minakatim. It seems to say he does pay. Noir says, no, it doesn't mean he actually has to pay. The Tafas, it means if the guy grabbed the money away from him, you can't extract it because it is appropriate for him to get some money. Tanan, similarly, echad tam, one of them is a tam, echad muad, and this is a gomer muad isik. The one who got damaged claims that it was a wild animal that caused the damage. Muad isik is a gadol, but tam is a katan, and the tame animal caused damage to the small animal. But mazik omer, and the damager, he says, Loki, it's not true, a tam is a gadol, but muad is a katan. It was the opposite. The tame animal caused damage to the big animal, and the wild animal caused damage to the small animal. You have to prove it. Hello, my Siraya. What would be the halach if you don't bring a raya? Shaka kuta amar mazik. You take as if the mazik, whatever the mazik claims. Vamai, chitim s'arin anu. This is similar to a case of chitim s'arin. The Gemara says the same answer. Roy lito ve'elo. He essentially is worthy of taking, but he doesn't. But Tanya, the problem is, hariz mishtalim l'katan min amud l'gadol min atam. You do pay from the mud to the katan and to the big one. You pay from the tam, which obviously pays less, Gemara says again the same answer to Tafas. Doesn't mean he actually gets that money in Beis Din. Means if he were to grab it, he wouldn't take it away from him. Have a wonderful day.